It's time to separate fact from fiction and health fads. It's time for the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
All right, I love marketing, I do, but I got to tell you all something, you listeners out there, marketing is, it's a completely different category than health, okay? Now, there are people in the health industry, and when I say industry, that means it's marketed, it's managed, and it makes a profit, all right? So marketing is one thing, and there are clever marketing people out there, and I'm like, gosh darn it, I wish I would have thought of that or something like that. But there is a vast difference between marketing and what really is going on and what's really good for you. I'm here in Mindful Medicine to join people like my guest Ray Dustar to shorten the gap between these two things and actually wake you up so you can use your mind and understand the difference. I got to tell you, and I think Ray would agree, one of the best marketing campaigns out there is, guess what? You got milk? I think it's great, but I hope you don't. Yeah, so Ray, take it away, because I know you and I have so much to talk about this subject, and we totally agree that pretty much at all costs, we should avoid cow's milk, but let's just stir it up right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as far as a marketing campaign, you know, the Got Milk mustache campaign, which was implemented, gosh, probably 10 years ago, honestly, it goes down as one of the most successful branding campaigns out there, because not only did it really get milk in the forefront, but it leveraged, you know, a tremendous amount, almost like the who's who of celebrities were vying to be, you know, with the milk mustache. But like you said, you know, at the end of the day, if you really, you know, delve into it and realize that, you know, just because you've got a lot of celebrities behind it, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's something that, you know, is healthy and nutritious and good for you. So,
right.
I'll
well, also, so you also have to look at something, the USDA food pyramid, you know, and people reference that all the time. That basically, at this point in time, the government says take 3 glasses of milk a day. So here's the thing. The other thing that I want to mention quickly before we get into the nuts and bolts of this is thinking about marketing. There's no science behind this at all. And actually, some of the quote unquote experts that were working on this USDA food pyramid, they actually work for the dairy company, okay? So those choices, and also then the reflection of those choices, which are the recommendations, they reflect industry standards and industry interests, not the interests of the consumer. That is for sure. And I think that's something. In fact, one of the physicians from Harvard actually said about the USDA food pyramid and the 3 glasses of milk a day that it was utterly ridiculous. And of course, that's UDDERLY. Utterly ridiculous.
Well, 3 glasses of milk a day, that's probably 300 to 450 calories. Yeah, you're going to get some protein in there, but you're taking in probably, good God, maybe 20 grams of saturated fat. What do you think about skim milk? What are your thoughts on skim milk, fat-free milk?
No, I think because the problem with milk in general, whether you put a twist on it with skim or fat-free milk, and I understand that you, as the everyday juicer that you are and you understand nutrient density, the nutrients that you're getting in milk are not great. And first of all, they don't give you a lot of calcium. And as you said, the milk proteins, actually have been proven to increase the risk of osteoporosis by 50%. Now, that's huge, right? Because everybody thinks, oh, if I can't drink milk, how am I going to get my calcium? That is crazy. You got
absolutely,
that right.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, you can get more calcium from the leafy green vegetables like broccoli, kale, collard greens, and spinach than from milk. And I agree with you on the fat-free and skim. You know, that became another way to kind of skin this cat. But if you turn around the bottles of milk at your grocery store, you'll notice when you go fat-free to or skim to fat-free, the amount of sugar increases in terms of what's in there, because they had to put something in there to make it taste not terrible.
That happens all the time. An advocate for just label reading. I know you do this all the time, because if something has been taken out, you know something has had to be put in to make it palatable, especially because fat is such a satiating ingredient. I mean, and the thing that I want to say too, is that when we're talking, to your point, fat-free skim milk, you're talking about a product, right, that is full of pesticides, herbicides, depending mostly on how these cows are raised, which usually in this grain industry that we have, and then also human human, bovine growth hormone, I should say, things that it just, when at first pass, you don't want to be putting in your body anyway, despite the other research that we have.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the best things somebody told me about milk was they said, name one other mammal that drinks another mammal's milk. I mean, seriously, think about it. Name another animal in the wild that is drinking another animal's milk. There isn't any. And then secondly, even if you think about, you know, a calf, the reason why milk is an unbelievable food for a calf is because it helps them go from, you know, 60 pounds to 400 pounds. But even calves get weaned off of milk after the 5 or 6 months, you know, their life. So if you think about that, what the heck are we doing as human beings drinking something that calves older don't even really want? It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
And I agree with you. The nature, it is, I think milk, I'll just say it, it's nature's perfect food as long as you are a calf. And even to your point, they kind of wean off of it and don't want it anymore. They're going on to other things. And I think it's also important for folks to know that milk has been proven to increase the body's level of insulin-like growth factor. That's a known cancer causer. And also 75% of the world's population are genetically unable to process milk. And so people come into my office and they're like, you know, oh, I'm lactose intolerant. And I'm like, well, welcome to the club. You know, you've got a good tribe behind you because most people are. It's just something that's not natural. Now, you know, you as the everyday juicer, you know, you can get calcium in these greens that you juice every day. And I think what's important for us to do is to make sure that listeners just go, you know, people count calories all the time. They go to Google, they'll put in something, they see how many calories. Go ahead, do it with your food that you eat throughout the day. Find out how much calcium is in the food you eat. If you eat, you get calcium, especially if they're green leafy foods. You're going to get calcium.
Well,
you just need to know it.
Absolutely. That's a really, really good point, and I'll say this as well. You know, if you delve it into cheese, so I was a huge, huge cheese eater. I mean, I seriously ate more cheese than I think Green Bay Packers fans. And of the reasons why I think my cholesterol, which was at 234, I brought it down to 168 by implementing my juicing regimen, was I was able to literally eliminate cheese out of my diet. I eliminated milk, obviously, and, you know, I've been dairy-free for about a year and a half now, and I have to tell you, it was the vegetable juicing that gave my body the nutrient density that I was able to absorb that allowed me to no longer crave the milk and crave especially cheese for me. So that was a solution for me that helped me get that out. And I got to tell you, these days, let's say if I have some cheese at a party or, you know, some type of something, I don't keep it in my house, I feel completely bloated and I feel totally, totally inflamed internally, and it lasts a good day and a half. So I really, now that it's out of my body and system, I notice it when I put it back in. And to me, that's not a good sign. When food is causing internal inflammation and bloating, it probably means it shouldn't be inside your body.
Well, and that's a great point. And first of all, I want to push everybody to your Facebook, because I know that you had a very interesting conversation when you posted that you were going to be talking about this subject. But, you know, people, there's a couple things here. When people are sort of like the walking wounded, in my opinion, and that's a lot of the population, where, and let's say, make the analogy to an old beat up Toyota, you throw a rock at it, it's like, eh. When you start taking things out of your diet, you clean up, you get pristine, and then you are a 2015 Cadillac rolling down the street. You throw a rock at it, i.e. eat a piece of cheese, you're going to go, oh my dear, you are actually able to feel again and be sensitive to what's going on. So for 30 seconds left, here's what Dr. Holly is going to say. Thank you, Ray Dusar, for always being here and putting us on the right track. In the sense of doing no harm, there is no harm. You, the listener, take dairy out of your diet for 2 weeks and go ahead, gently nudge it back in. You tell us how you're feeling, all right? This is Mindful Medicine. I'm Dr. Holly Lucille on Radio MD. Stay tuned.